Well, I want to thank everybody for coming out to hear us this morning. I know it's an early session. I know we all feel it. We feel your pain. However, hopefully, we're addressing a set of very unique issues. And I want to thank the caucus for selecting my work and inviting me to speak here today. I'm going to be speaking about involvement with street violence, incarceration, and sex while incarcerated among African-American men who have sex with men and non-MSM enrolled at Boston Urban Health Clinics. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues up front, both at Drexel University where I am, that's Dr. John Rich, and my former colleagues at Boston University, Dr. Elizabeth Reed, who is at the Center for Interdisciplinary Research on AIDS at Yale, and the PI, who is Dr. Anita Raj in behavioral sciences at Boston University. First of all, I want to say I have no financial relationships or any others to disclose. And this was funded through a CDC project through the Minority AIDS Research Initiative through MARI. And this has been sort of dubbed the Black African American Men's Health Study, where we wanted to measure not only rates of sexual behaviors among non-monogamous adult Black and African American men, but wanted to really look at various psychosocial and behavioral antecedents to unsafe behavior. And we did include, questions specifically on intimate partner violence, and I've reported on this previously, and also street-level violence, and I'm going to actually be talking about that today. I want to give a very brief background, and there's considerable literature that Black African American men really are more likely to be involved in street violence. And this is just some recent data. It didn't really take me long to actually find data that corroborate findings from earlier years. But I want to give you a little bit of a background. In the United States during 2007, 15% of all deaths among youth and young adults resulted from homicide. And nationwide, 4.2% of students have been in a physical fight one or more times during the last 12 months before the survey, in which they were injured or had to be treated by a doctor or nurse. Among males, the prevalence of having been injured in a physical fight was higher among Black males and Hispanic males than white male students. So there is that disparity, and that's really been shown several times. And racial disparities in incarcerated populations are well known, with males comprising more than 90% of inmates in federal and state prisons or local jails. Black or African American men are almost seven times as likely to be incarcerated compared with white men. So, while we previously identified higher rates of being both perpetrators and victims of intimate partner violence among African American MSM compared to non-MSM in this sample, now remember, we actually enroll all non-monogamous Black men who attend clinics sequentially. And it's only sort of post hoc do we actually begin to classify them based on whether they're MSM or non-MSM. So we have a built-in comparison group with a non-MSM population of adult non-monogamous men as well. So that's one of the strengths of this sample. But we wondered if, in fact, that hypothesized psychosocial factors that were associated with IPV, such as we presume internalized homophobia or rigidity of masculinity norms, would also be associated with participation in street-level violence. We thought that maybe these same factors would promote increased rates of experience with street-level violence, so we wanted to measure that. Okay, the scientific aims: estimate rates of participation in street-level violence and incarceration in a group of sexually active non-monogamous African-American men recruited at general medical clinics. And these are highly reflective of men in the surrounding communities. We've shown that. And to compare these rates with African-American non-MSM recruited in the same settings, and to evaluate rates of sexual behaviors with other inmates while incarcerated among African-American MSM versus non-MSM. Methods: we opened enrollment in May of 2005. Five clinics partnered with us throughout metropolitan Boston. These are general medical clinics, primary care clinics, Codman Square Healthcare, Dorchester House, Primary Care Center at BMC, Boston Medical Center, Urgent Care Center at BMC, and Whittier Street Community Health Center, serving patients in Dorchester, Roxbury, Mattapan, and Boston South End. All men needed to be black or African-American men, that is, self-identified, 18 years of age or older, and who had two or more sex partners in the past year. We wanted to see a presumably a higher risk population. This is really where we really targeted our study. So we didn't look at monogamous men. We looked at men who were really at risk for acquiring STIs and HIV. Recruitment alternated between clinics. I want to give you a little background. All men who appeared to be black or African American were approached in waiting rooms. So our recruiters would sequentially sample everybody who came in, all comers. Men were escorted to computers for audio computer-assisted self-administered interviewing, a CASI. And a CASI is where questions are read to participants via computer, and they can respond by touchscreen technology, promotes feelings of privacy, increased safety by respondents, and yields more honest responses. And there's a rich literature out there that suggests that this is really a very valuable and preferred way to really gather very sensitive data. There are scores of papers out on that. Ours are not the only experience with the CASIs that support this. So I want to give you the variables. Here are the outcome variables. We ask people if they've ever been part of a gang. We ask whether level of involvement. We ask about their level of involvement with street fights or other street violence in the past month, going from none to a great deal. There's four categories. The degree to which young men in your neighborhood need street to street fight or belong to gangs to survive. Again, we use a Likert scale from none to a great deal. Have you ever been incarcerated? Ever had oral sex with another man while incarcerated? Ever had anal sex with another man while incarcerated? How often condoms were used for anal sex while incarcerated? And that's among only those men who did say they had anal sex. And ever forced to have sex or raped while incarcerated? So these were our outcome variables to measure involvement with violence and sex during incarceration. Independent variables. Being MSM and non-MSM, there were two groups of MSM we were able to identify. The first group are initially disclosing homosexual behaviors. They say they have male sex partners. They readily acknowledge male sex partners at any time in the past. And so that's one group. Second group were MSM non-initially disclosing homosexual behaviors. They denied having male sex partners. They were asked directly. And yet, further on in the ACASI, they began to report high frequencies of both oral and anal sex to ejaculation with other men. And so there was a real disconnect, and it had to do, we believe, with the fact of, that partner connotes intimacy. And for this second group of men, sex is really not the same emotionally intimate activity with other men, but perhaps sort of a release activity or a pleasurable activity with buds. So there's a difference there. And of course, non-MSM, denying male partners with no behavioral evidence in our survey of having male sex partners. We controlled for background or confounding variables, adjusted as appropriate through inspection and associations with potential confounders. With being MSM and outcomes, these include demographics, substance use, so age, being U.S. born, education, income, employment status, homelessness, religiosity. We asked questions on that. A person's sexual orientation as they identify themselves. I'll give you some data on that. Specific drug and alcohol use to intoxication in the previous 30 days. And reporting early life sexual and or physical abuse, which we've shown previously to be strong predictors of violence. And also HIV infection status, because that really will, as one thinks or presumes, may affect whether or not people have anal sex. Results 1, disclosure rates of homosexual behaviors among our MSM. 72 men initially reported having had sex with men. They readily acknowledged it. 52 reported anal intercourse and oral sex. 9 reported oral sex only. And 1 reported only anal intercourse. And 10 reported neither, that there were other sexual activities. They presumably masturbation. 56 men initially reported not having sex with males. However, they subsequently reported specific sexual behaviors. 41 reported oral sex to both insertive to ejaculation and receiving, a penis to ejaculation. 41 reported oral sex only, 11 reported anal intercourse and oral sex, both to ejaculation, and 4 reported only anal intercourse. Therefore, almost 44% of our MSM did not initially disclose homosexual behaviors. Okay? And 81.8% were non-MSM in our sample. We believe they were truly heterosexual behaviorally. Results and demographics. This is a very busy slide. I'm very sorry about this, but I want to point out a couple trends in the data. If you look down the columns, the first column are MSM initially disclosing, which we talked about. The second is MSMs who were initially non-disclosing. Those might be considered the closeted men, if you want to use that particular term, and the third are the non-MSMs. What you can see is that middle group, MSM not initially disclosing, tended to be younger. The initially disclosing group of MSM, the ones who were out and immediately said, I have male sex partners, tended to be of lower income, tended to have more homelessness in the group. And we have very high levels of low income in this group. These are urban health centers, and these are primary care centers for people with really modest means. And so, you know, again, you have to think about who's our population. These are men of color who are relatively poor, many of whom are homeless. So you'll see more homelessness in the MSM initially disclosing group. That same group feel that they're more religious. And when you look at the orientation, there's a sharp disconnect in that first group of men. Even that first group who disclosed male sex partners, really only 29% are gay identifying in that group. 32% say they are heterosexual, and 38% say they're bisexual. Look at the middle group who are the closeted group. 84% say they're heterosexual. Virtually none are gay identifying. 7% are bisexual, so we see a little bit of a difference there compared to our non-MSM. And surprisingly, there's still a group of 1.6% who say they're bisexual, and 7% say they're none of the above. So there is some heterogeneity in self-identification of orientation, even in the heterosexual group. So here's the meat of the presentation here. Here are some differences if you take a look. Ever been part of a gang? There are real no differences we could perceive between the three groups. Although if we ask level of involvement in street violence, and I've shaded them in for you a little bit, you can see that the MSM groups tended to be more involved in street-level violence, particularly that middle group, the closeted group, where they've been involved in a great deal of violence. That really drove the association. Almost 13% have been involved in a great deal of violence in the past 6 months. And the MSM reporting sex with men also, there's a shift up to very little to some involvement with street-level violence. So I hope people can see that. And then degree to which young men in your neighborhood need to street fight or belong to gangs to survive. Again, there's a shift upward, you can see, to some to a great deal in both groups of MSM. So both groups of MSM see participation in gangs or level to street or street fight as necessary for survival among young men. History during incarcerated, if you take a look at that, it's really not significant, but there is sort of a little bit of a trend in that central group, MSM not reporting sex with men, tended to be more likely to have been incarcerated in the past 12 months. Again, these are small numbers. Ever had oral sex with another man while incarcerated? That is no surprise. The MSM group reporting sex with men are much more likely to have reported oral sex with another man while incarcerated. And this is among the incarcerated group. Second, ever had anal sex with another man while incarcerated? You can see, again, it's no surprise, the group who are immediately MSM-identifying, not gay-identifying, I have to correct myself, were much more likely to have had anal sex with another man while incarcerated. And how often condoms used in that group having anal sex while incarcerated? Well, again, it's not significant. There are small numbers, but there is a suggestion that first group much more likely never to use condoms for anal sex. Again, you have to use a bit of a bit of restraint in making inferences from the data. But descriptively, there is some evidence there that that group are more risky in prison, and then ever forced to have sex or raped while incarcerated, much more likely in that first group. And that, again, we don't know for sure as to why that happens. It may be that they are identified as potentially gay. There are visual cues. They're more often victimized. We don't know. Or it can be also through maybe social networks and people talking with each other that these men are more likely to participate or have anal sex in prison, and they're identified as being potentially gay. Okay, so here are the adjusted estimates. This is the take-home message. These have been really adjusted for confounders that we found through inspection. And what you can really see after adjustment is that there are these two groups, MSM reporting sex with men, initially reporting. And the second group is MSM not initially reporting sex with men, but who do behaviorally admit, MSM behaviors. And these are in comparison with non-MSM. So in each of these cases, the reference group are a non-MSM population in our sample. What you can see is the MSM reporting sex with men are much less likely to have ever been part of a gang. Really, there's no elevation in beliefs of that neighborhood men need to fight to survive. They are much more likely, both groups, 1.8 and 1.9-fold, more likely to have involved in street fights or other forms of street violence in the past 6 months, both groups of MSM. And of course, while in prison, that first group's almost 14 times more likely to have had oral sex with men, almost 17 times more likely to have anal sex, and while in jail or prison, almost 14 times more likely to have forced sex or being raped by other men in prison. If you look at that group on the outside, they're the ones who are closeted or ones not readily disclosing. There's also a suggestion of elevation of risk, particularly having had anal sex with men in prison, although it does not reach significance. Again, these are small numbers in that group. Therefore, my conclusions. While MSM who reported sex with other men were less than half as likely to have ever been part of gangs, let me give you the odds ratio, both groups of MSM were significantly more likely to have been involved in street violence, just at odds ratios 1.8, 1.9 when compared with non-MSM. MSM not initially reporting male sex partners were significantly more likely to ever have been incarcerated compared with non-MSM. The adjusted odds ratio is almost 1.9. While numbers of subjects for analysis were small, men who initially reported having male sex partners were sharply more likely to have had oral sex and anal sex with other men in prison compared with non-MSM. That should not be a surprise. Similarly, men who initially reported having male sex partners were sharply more likely to have been forced to have sex or have been raped by other men in prison compared with non-MSM. These are quite sharp. And in conclusion, there are large disparities that exist for MSM concerning participation in street violence, incarceration, having consensual or forced sex in prison when compared with their heterosexual counterparts. Okay, as I said earlier, this was, I want to acknowledge our funding source, the CDC, the MARI Project, and Minority AIDS Research Initiative, and Anita Raj is technically the PI for the study. And I'd like to acknowledge our CDC project officers, Drs. Stephen Flores, Lisa Fitzpatrick, Madeline Sutton, and Mr. Marcus Durham for their support and guidance in this project. Thank you very much.
Okay, our next presenter is Dr. Catherine Forbes, and as soon as she's finished, we'll have some time for questions. Thank you.